Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. And now, here's your host, Rick Ingram.
All right, guys, welcome back to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. Right now is July of 2023. You always want to promote it in the future. Yeah. That's one thing I've learned about podcasting. I'm Rick Ingram. I've got strangers for days. You know what I'm saying? My stranger today, John Sosis.
That's me.
Sosis is the correct pronunciation, right?
Yeah. It's a fun last name when you have a lisp. It's really great.
How do you say it?
Sosis.
Is that for real? Or are you
no,
putting
I say
that on?
I say Sosis, but I have a lisp, so
it sounds...
In my head, it sounds like Sosis.
Are they allowed to know who you really are?
Yeah. Yeah?
A human being?
A human
and a man.
Being. What do you mean? Oh, you mean like my job here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they can... We've only known each other for 4 months, so we're technically strangers, kind of. But yeah, I run the record label at the
Comedy
Store.
Yeah, I just didn't know if I was allowed to mention that because I don't want to be lying to our...
We don't lie to our
dedicated listeners/viewers.
No.
You know your nickname around the club is Kaiser Sosis, right?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, because a lot of people call me Suit.
Suit?
Yeah, because I come from the corporate world.
Yeah. No, they're calling you Kaiser Sosis because we believe that you actually run the club and it's undercover and you're essentially the greatest murderer of all time.
It's possible.
So I think I'm Gabriel Byrne in this scenario. I'm not 100% sure, but it's definitely Usual Suspects for days.
Yeah.
It is funny. A lot of the people who want to be a part of the Comedy Store seem generally offended by your ability to be here.
Yeah, and it's funny because I didn't want to be part of the Comedy Store until I knew that there was a job opening, and I'm like, oh, this sounds like a great job.
Yeah.
And then you work here, and then the first few months, everyone hates you, and you're like, oh, this is great.
Yeah. Yeah, like, people are just like, what's the deal? You think he's trying to like get in as a comic? I'm like, I'm 100% positive he's not.
I mean, I was a comic. I chose to not do stand-up. I have no interest in getting on stage anymore. Like, it's weird. In New York, there's such a rush. There were two types of comics in New York. There were comics that want to be comics.
Yeah.
And there were comics that wanted to sit at the cool table at the Cellar.
Right.
I was one of those because I grew up on Tough Crowd and like that was my thing. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I just want a bunch of cool comics that I could shit on, that could shit on me. And like, there's a lot of comics that grew up with Tough Crowd because of Tough Crowd. They wanted to do stand-up and thought, oh, I just want to get to that table at the Cellar. And I hit that point where I was just like, oh no, I hate this. I like joke writing. I like comedy writing. You can do that without getting on a stage.
That's also true.
So I was like, I'm just taking up spots that people genuinely want. I couldn't give two fucks.
The
like,
comedy
it was sketchy. It was sketchy in New York.
Did you do comedy at the Cellar? Like, do they
no,
have open mics
do,
and stuff? I don't honestly know
they,
how the Cellar
I
works.
Did a few open mics, and then they did like outsider show, similar to what they do here, where they do like the third party
privately
promoted. Yeah, yeah, I've done those, but no, I did. My home club was Gotham, and then I did the Stand a lot when it opened, and I did Comics was probably my favorite club.
Comics.
Did you ever do comics in New York? It turned into a hooker drug den really quick after like.
I mean,
four
that
years.
Sounds like the right kind of club.
It got real.
Someone who's been at the Comedy Store for almost 20 years. I'm hearing my calling now.
Yeah. No. It did. So my I got very lucky in comedy early on where I wanted to do it, didn't know how to do it, took a comedy class with Jessica Kearson, who I love to death. She was like super helpful.
Yeah.
And
she's
then,
great.
Yeah, I love her so much. She's just good with great to new comics and helps people develop.
That's
but
weird.
Like 3 weeks into, stand up, Opie and Anthony was doing like a funniest listener competition.
I when I was investigating you online,
I
came across.
Oh, no. I don't have the full setup, right? You probably have the review.
No, it wasn't comedy. It was like a list of all the people trying. I forget what it said. It was like just a little blurb about each person who was like in a competition for funniest audience.
It was like
funniest
listener
or something.
Yeah. So I'd been in comedy 3-4 weeks at that point, and Opie and Anthony was like, "Send us your best minute." And unfortunately, my best minute was like a hack and Frank joke.
Nice.
And Fifteen minutes later, I get a call from their producer, like, "We want you." I was like, "Oh, this is fucked." So I do this competition, and I didn't expect to win it. I ended up winning it, so now I think I'm like the biggest thing in the world.
Sure.
I'm like, "Oh, 4 weeks. This is easy. Why isn't anybody doing this?"
That kind of buzz.
Yeah.
Tommy, the old talent coordinator, went on. He's got buzz. Make him a paid regular right now.
I let it get to my head immediately. And like a lot of people have this same story the following week. So Bonnie McFarlane was a judge. Rich Voss was a host. They told me and a bunch of the other comics that were competing, come hang out at our show next week. We're going to be here. Come hang. So we went, and like after their show, one person recognized me, like, "Oh, you won the competition last week. Are you cool to take a picture?" And I was like, "Yeah." And then he fucking handed me the camera and went and stood by Rich and Bonnie. And I was like, "Oh, yeah, this is my place. Like, I'm still nobody. Like, chill the fuck out."
Yeah.
And after that, like, I did comedy for like another 2 years, and I was just like, "I hate this."
Yeah.
And I got sick, and I kind of used that as my exit.
That was the way out?
Yeah, I realized it was probably contributing to my sickness, and I was like, okay, I could stop because I have to get taken care of, and then I don't have to go back. Like, while I'm recovering, I could keep writing, but I don't need the pressure of getting back on stage, fighting for spots. Like, you throw a rock in New York, you're going to hit a comic.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to be a comic there. Most people will never get a paid gig.
Yeah.
I
feel like I might be the only comedian in the history of comedy who just doesn't enjoy New York City at all. As a comedian especially, where it's just like, the last time I was there was 12 years ago or something, and I was doing shows at the Carolines on Broadway, and it was terrible. I mean, the crowds were fine. I was there opening for Bobby Lee, but it was like, I don't enjoy New York at all. And people are like, "Well, you got to go to this club and this club." I'm like, "I don't want to go over there."
I don't like New York because of the inability to drive. I'm a driver in New York. I was one of the few people that had cars. So like for me, it was about driving to the city every night and doing all that. LA's weird to me. I moved here 4 months ago. I will never get used to this. The pace is slow. Like, you go to Dunkin' Donuts and like, or any coffee place, and there's a line that builds out the door, and the woman's just like, "Yep, I'll be with you in a second." And she's like organizing cups and putting things in size order. And like, in New York, these people would have been gone 10 minutes ago.
We're very casual about our pace here.
There's no urgency for anything.
But you can also go to a fancy restaurant in a t-shirt here. And
that's true.
Very important to me.
Yeah, no, New York.
Not that I will ever go to a fancy restaurant.
New York is very, you can't do that.
No. When I had a manager for 3 weeks in the entirety of my career, they wanted me to meet them at McCormick and Schmidt in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
And so I'm like, "All right, whatever." And I went, and it's like a chain seafood restaurant or something. But I went in, I was just wearing like a t-shirt and cargo shorts. And I was like, "Oh, they're probably going to think I'm an asshole." And then I got there, and everyone was wearing that, basically.
That's rich people shit, though.
Yeah. Except for, like, the shitty manager. He was dressed, suited and booted, and prepared to just let me know about the big-time deals he was going to make for me.
I mean, I'm sure they were huge.
Yeah.
My thing is, like, I've noticed that in New York, the rich people wear suits everywhere. In L.A., the rich people dress homeless.
Yeah. Well, at least in a $400 pair of sweatpants.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The sweatpants are $400, but they look just as bad as
they look terrible.
$30 sweatpants.
They're just not quite as loose is really the key.
They are fitting.
Yeah, if you have any money, the sweatpants are tight and not comfortable, and that's how people know that you mean fucking business.
That's how you make deals.
Yeah. It's weird. Like, I remember I went to Peter Luger's Steakhouse. Yeah.
That's a big one. That's a big birthday spot.
Yeah.
Oh, he's old school Brooklyn. He definitely thinks that's the best steakhouse in the entire world.
He told me about it for the week and a half we were on the road leading up to getting there. And then he ordered, like, some plate that was filled with lots of different steaks or whatever. And I ate it. I'm like, "It's pretty good." He's like, "Is that the best steak you ever had?" I'm like, "No, I'm from Kansas. It's not the best steak I ever had." "Well, they can't make them like this. You can't get a New York strip in Kansas." I'm like, yeah, it's called a Kansas City strip. We just changed the name. "Where do you think your beef is coming from, Dice?"
But that's a typical New Yorker. But on the flip side, I've come out here. If one more person tells me they know the best place for New York pizza, I'm gonna lose my shit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm another thing I'm not impressed with is New York pizza. Like, it literally all tasted like Sparrows.
At every
mall all across America.
I wasn't impressed with it until I tasted pizza out here, and I'm like, oh, I get New York now.
Yeah.
But also, everyone was raving about In-N-Out Burger, and then you taste their fries, and you're like, this isn't even edible.
They're the worst fries ever. They cook them in sunflower oil.
It's like, what am I eating?
They're literally good for maybe 40 seconds out of the fryer.
Yeah.
And then they just get soggy and are disgusting.
And you're never going to get them 40 seconds out of the fryers. Yeah. So I've never had a good French fry at In-N-Out.
They're terrible. And the only thing that makes their burgers good, allegedly, was that they put Thousand Island dressing on it, which I don't like. And every place in the world now puts Thousand Island dressing on a burger. So
that's the other weird thing out here. Everybody puts mustard on. Like, you have to go to McDonald's and say, no mustard. Who puts mustard on a burger?
I do.
That's food terrorism.
I put mustard on anything.
It's disgusting.
Trust me. Ketchup.
It's disgusting.
Ketchup needs to be removed from menus.
I'm okay with that, too. I don't like condiments.
Mustard, I'm all about. I
like tasting the food I'm eating. People that drown their pasta in sauce, like, then just eat sauce. What are you doing?
So you want to eat just noodles?
I do just eat noodles. We could get to that when we talk about the foods I can't eat. But tomato sauce is one of them. I'll just order plain pasta and everyone looks at me like, what?
Yeah, I can't really eat tomato sauce either. So
tomato sauce.
I get it.
Yeah, pizza's rough.
You said your sickness. What does that mean?
So,
what happened to you?
I had ulcerative colitis. I got diagnosed. Whenever you talk about being misdiagnosed for diabetes, that's what I was going through with ulcerative colitis. I was getting killer pains in my abdomen. Everyone was like, just stop eating this or stop eating the fast food. I'm like, I know plenty of people who eat fast food. They're not in fetal position. What are we talking? And I finally went to this gastroenterologist in Brooklyn. He had
what was his ethnicity?
Italian.
Okay.
He had thumbs like corn dogs.
Nice.
Up until I was 21.
Delicious? His thumbs were delicious?
No, they were big. And let me tell you, when you go 21 years and your butthole is a one-way street, it is not the greatest introduction to it.
Well,
So you're getting... But he diagnosed me.
You're getting corn dogged in your cornhole.
I got dogged in my hole, and eventually they were like, you have ulcerative colitis. And this is when I started to find out how fucked up the pharmaceutical system is. They put me on like this Remicade. It was called Remicade. You basically sit for a 2-hour drip in your arm and you feel great. Like, you don't have any of the symptoms. What they don't tell you is that they're not fixing the problem. They're just shielding the symptoms. So you're getting progressively worse, but you feel great. So you're like, this is wonderful. Yeah. And the doctor's getting paid for
loves it
all the medicine he's giving you. Yeah. So he's not going to tell you if something's fucked up. And then for 5 years, the medicine was working and then it stopped and I got sick again.
And how old are you at this point?
At this point, I'm 26.
Okay.
I'm at work. And so I was in college. I was in college when I first got diagnosed at 21, graduated at 22, started working for Warner Music Group. 4 years into Warner Music Group, I'm 26. The medication stops working and I shit my pants at work. And I was like,
we have
a problem.
Yeah.
Houston, we have a problem. Yeah.
I don't want to say any names, but there's someone else who works at the Comedy Store whose name might be Richie. And he was the king of shit in his pants.
Yeah.
But the difference is he would just walk around work and let everybody know that he just shit his pants.
Okay. But to be fair, a lot of the times that I think he has shit his pants since I've been here in four months, he's just tried to blow a big fart and you can just tell he shit his pants.
Yeah. I've never met anyone who just proudly stated it. If I wasn't there, he would call me to tell me that he shit his pants. I'd be like, what? He would send me on a run. I was a driver for him. And he was in charge of the shipping department. And so he would send me, you got to go to Burbank, take care of this. So I'd be in Burbank, my phone would ring, and I'd look down and be like, oh, fuck, thinking I have to go pick something up in Altadena or some shitty drive. Yeah. He'd be like, dude, I just shit my pants. No more Panda Express for a week. I'm like, a week? But, yeah, he was the king of, like, he's just taking a little break and then back to shit in his pants.
It's funny how people immediately go to what you're eating, where, like, for me, that's what I thought it was. So I was doing stand-up, full-time college student, full-time job, and then interning full-time. in my 20s, and then the only thing in between campus and the train to Manhattan was White Castle. So I was eating White Castle a lot. And like on a good day, you shit your pants from White Castle. Yeah. On a bad day, you shit everybody's pants from White Castle.
Yeah. One of the worst, most disgusting burger of all time, unless you're really drunk.
You watch your mouth.
No,
pretty amazing.
Listen, if you've had the equivalent of at least 17 alcoholic beverages, amazing. Anything less, no excuse.
I don't drink, and I thought they were fantastic.
There's barely any beef to go with the lard that you're eating in a slider.
But now I feel bad because I've shown up with a lot of things with the Crave cases.
Yeah.
Thinking I was the life of the party.
Yeah.
Like, guys, look what I got. I'm the best.
Yeah.
And then I didn't realize what that probably did to their bathroom.
But yeah, it is.
Yeah,
so
I was eating shitty also, and then it just, I was 26, I was at work, and that was the end. And it was just like, oh, we can't have this happen anymore. So I started going to more doctors, and they're like, yeah, your large intestine, the wall is really thin. It's going to break at any second. And he's like, that's going to be a big problem. You need to get all of it removed. Because like there's ulcerative colitis, and then there's Crohn's. Crohn's is what Pete Davidson has. Still shits a lot, probably shits his pants a lot, but he can't get his whole large intestine removed because Crohn's can go up into the small intestine. It could be anywhere in the digestive tract.
That's what they thought. That was one of the first things they inaccurately thought I had was Crohn's.
They think it's Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, or acid reflux when it's anything to do with the stomach because it's the easiest to check for.
Yep, acid reflux. Definitely. They gave me Nexium and a bunch of other stuff.
Oh, I was on.
And it just made me sicker.
I was on so much shit. I was injecting myself with stuff. Oh, they just approved this last week. Do you want to try it? Yeah, let's do it. Because the other option, he told me there's no cure for this. In my mind, I'm like, what do you mean there's no cure? It's like a stomach Magic Johnson's still alive. I didn't grasp the idea of we can't fix your large intestine.
Yeah.
It felt very Oregon Trail-y.
Yeah.
So I was like, what? And then they told me, like, this is the only cure. And in my mind, you try to convince yourself, like, I don't want to go and have my entire digestive system fucked up. And then tomorrow they come out with a cure.
Yeah.
So every time I'm Googling and they're like, oh, Humira is out. Try Humira. You only have to inject your thigh 4 times a day. I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
And then eventually I shit my pants a second time, and I'm like, all right, let's sign up for that surgery. And then
I feel like gastrointestinologists, they're just throwing it against the wall with every diagnosis. Mine, he was Greek, which obviously I know now. Never trust a Greek
also
doctor.
Big thumbs, though.
You know what? He never thumbed my beehole, which is part of what makes me think this guy didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah, it sounds off.
But he diagnosed me with so many things that were not what I had, and gave me so many medications that didn't help what I had.
That's what it is. There's a website you can go to. I forgot what it is. I wish I had it, but you can Google. You can put in your doctor's name, and it tells you what pharmaceutical companies gave him money that year.
Right.
And I started looking at some of the doctors I had seen and all the medications I was on. And you start seeing, oh, this guy donated $30,000. This guy donated $15,000. That's why he only gave me a little bit, but he gave me a lot of this one.
Right.
And like my leg hair was falling out from some medications. And it's one of those things where the side effects don't outweigh everything else. I'm like, this needs to stop.
Yeah, losing leg hair.
It was just falling out. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
Hair on your head, though.
No, my hair got thinner, but it wasn't falling out.
Wow.
It thinned out real bad. Medicine's fucking crazy. But when I got the surgery, they gave me the spinal tap, and that was an experience.
Yeah. So, don't they do that for pregnant women?
Yeah, so I think so. Yeah.
Do that, yeah.
Yeah.
That
fucks you up. Well, so I had 3 9-hour surgeries.
Okay.
So they
back to back to back. Or
they were
over
3 months apart. Okay. So I was wearing an ostomy bag from like the first surgery until the third one, which is when like they say everything's healed up, they could replug everything back together. But they give you some wild shit, and that's the other weird thing about me is like I started getting into Lego because. After my surgery, they gave me Dilaudid. Have you ever been on Dilaudid?
I don't think
that
so.
That shit fucks you up. That's a painkiller where I was sitting on my couch and my mom would come down. I was still living at home because I was so sick I couldn't move out at that point. my mom came down. She's like, "Who are you talking to?" I'm like, "The people on the train." Like, I was gone.
Nice.
So
what's it called?
The Loudon. I actually, if you want, I have it all in my cabinet. I stopped taking it. I was like, I need to get my mind off the pain because they basically cut through your whole stomach to give you to have your small intestine stick out of it. Wow. And then I was like, I need something to get my mind off it. So I bought a Lego set. I'm like, oh, this shit works. Like, you don't have to think about anything when you're looking for, like, these small pieces.
That's because when you said Lego, I'm like, oh, this must be a pill. He's not talking about the child's toy.
I'm talking about Lego.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not a child's toy anymore. I just spent a lot of money on Lego. It's bad.
We gave my my 5-year-old Legos for Christmas, and so she kept saying, "Hey, will you come build this with me?" I go, I can't right now because I have to watch your brother, and you know, I can't leave him alone, and he can't be in there because you know he's 1.5, and he'll try and eat the Legos or whatever. She's like, "All right." So then at one point, she's like, "Daddy, you need to come here." And so I go up, like, thinking something's wrong. And she's like, "I can't find these Lego pieces." And I go, are you really going to try and put this together by yourself? And she's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "All right." So I find the piece for her, and then I go back downstairs. And then, like, maybe 20 minutes later, she's like, "Daddy, come back up here." And I go up there, and she had already built the whole shit. I'm just like.
Yeah.
But she's so into it. So now I'm
that's
worried.
That's not a cheap hobby.
No.
It is not a cheap hobby.
So what are you building Lego wise?
I got the Titanic waiting for me. I bought Nintendo. I bought the old Batwing from the 1989 movie. I only collect TV and film sets. Okay. So I have like a
nerd alert.
A 10,000 piece Millennium Falcon just sitting there. Yeah.
Collector's
items.
Well,
I play with them. You can't just collect them. It's a Millennium Falcon.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there a Chewbacca piece that goes with it?
I'm going to sound like a complete idiot. I don't even know. I've never seen Star Wars, so I don't know. I don't know what came. I just built the ship, but I don't know.
Hold on. Did you just become the coolest person I've ever met?
I've never seen Star Wars. I tried to. Every Christmas, I used to try to get through it. You can't get through that movie.
Yeah.
Nothing makes sense. The robots, some have English accents, some don't, some speak only in robot. It's just, I don't have patience for this.
Yeah. The most annoying thing about Star Wars is all of it.
Yeah,
from the beginning.
Yeah.
And then the people's love of it is really what takes it to the next level where you're just like, oh, so this sucks and I have to act like I think it doesn't suck because losers think it's cool.
Well, one of my favorite things in the world. Have you seen Triumph at the premiere of?
Yeah,
the that's one. I'll just watch that over and over when I need a laugh. Where he just goes over and terrorizes those people.
Yeah, that is great. I'm a huge Spaceballs fan, and
that's fair.
Whenever someone tries to argue that, like, you know, the best Star Wars is definitely Return of the Jedi. I always go Spaceballs, and then they get really mad.
Oh, I do the Star Trek. I do William Shatner.
The Star Trek's what the actual nerds like.
Or there's a character in Star Wars. He was like Jar Jar
Binks. Yeah.
He's the one that I say is my favorite Star Wars character. My favorite Jedi, and they get mad.
Yeah, he was the first CGI main character that everyone absolutely hated.
Yeah, and I thought he was great. Like you see the memes with him, and I'm like, this guy's great.
Yeah, I. All I know about Jar Jar Binks was he was in one of the Natalie Portman Star Wars movies, and if she's in it, then I'll watch it.
Oh, you're a Natalie Portman guy?
Yeah, she's attractive, and I can just ignore the rest of it. But
okay,
but yeah, when people used to go, "Who's your Hollywood chick?" I'd always go, "Oh, I guess Natalie Portman," and then everyone would be like, "What? She's not even hot, man." I'd be like,
and I feel like
beautiful.
She came later. She was like an early 2000s.
She was.
Because you're only a few years older than me, but my Hollywood chicks were Jennifer Love Hewitt and Campbell.
Jennifer Love Hewitt. And who?
Neve Campbell.
Oh, right. The Wild Things.
Wild Things, Scream.
Yeah. Scream.
Didn't get into Party of Five, but didn't want to. I think I was okay.
Yeah. It was always like, I grew up in Kansas, so the chicks that the dudes liked were like the white trash chicks. It would be like, Carmen Electra is a babe, or
Yasmine Bleeth. One of my friends was obsessed with her.
I don't even know who that is. Who's Yasmine Bleeth?
I think she was on Baywatch.
Oh, okay, that could be.
Yeah,
Pam Anderson. That was the other one.
Pam Anderson was a big one. Yeah, we had a weird collection. Jennifer Love Hewitt was it, though. She was in every 90s movie. She was in some horror movies.
That was your jam.
So, yeah, that was it.
You might be able to get her, actually. I don't know what she's up to.
I think
but
she's playing like a phone operator on some Fox show now.
She might actually be a phone operator for Fox now. Nothing personal, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah.
All right, so you get your intestines removed.
Yeah, so I get my intestines removed, everything.
The large intestine completely gone?
Large intestine, which is the colon, the rectum, all gone.
All gone.
And I remember, like, the one thing I remember vividly is when after you get the surgery, the doctor comes in and he comes with a list of rules of, like, the do's and don'ts.
Yeah.
And the first thing on the list was, like, no anal sex. And he like, you know when you ask a question and you just stare at someone to see their response?
Yeah.
I'm almost convinced my mom sent him in to see what my response was going to be.
Because she thought you were gay?
Yeah, yeah, because at the time, I mean, I was sick, so I tried not to get into relationships.
Yeah.
But also, I didn't want to bring anybody over to my family. So
sure.
If I was in a relationship, they didn't know about it.
Yeah.
So there was definitely that question. But he ran down the list and then he started looking at me like, waiting for a response. I was like, okay, I'm good with that. I think I'll be okay.
Yeah. Did you, just to push buttons, did you go, am I allowed to fuck butts? Is that okay? So they know you're the alpha.
That would have been good.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what my mom was trying to figure out.
Yeah, she wanted to know which one you were. Yeah. As long as he's a power top,
yeah,
I'm happy.
That would have been a fun Thanksgiving.
Are your parents conservative?
No, they're not. No, they don't. They don't care. They just. My mom wants grandkids any which way. So I'm like,
right.
I'll steal you a kid. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to get into a miserable relationship for it.
That's not something that older generations understand.
Yeah.
They expect the misery.
Yeah. They just want the grandkids. They don't care how they get them. And I'm just sort of like, yeah, but I kind of have to be involved at some point.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It. There is a lot to be involved with.
Yeah.
You've never been drunk before?
No,
was that on the list of things you can't do?
No.
Are you allowed to have alcohol?
I am. I just hate the taste of it. And I was never one of those people to do it just to do it.
Yeah. My brother's, I think he's had 2 beers his whole life. And it was literally, that's like probably 7 or 8 times people gave him a beer and he drank like, you know, an eighth of it. And so all together over the time, he's had a total of 2 beers, but not in 2 sittings or 1 sitting.
Yeah, no, I like if I'm out for a birthday, I'll do a shot with someone. I'll hold a beer for the sake of not being the guy not drinking.
But you got to embrace just being a nerd.
I just hate the taste of it.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
It's disgusting. I don't see any enjoyment in
well,
that.
Well, the key is you have to be 5 or 6 in, and then you're like, this actually doesn't taste too bad.
Well, that's also where I get fucked with the dating thing, because it's when you tell a girl you don't drink,
yeah,
they start asking questions.
Right.
It's like, this is weird, or, oh, did you have a problem? Like, no, my problem was I didn't like alcohol.
Yeah, and then they're like, that is a problem.
That is a problem. Yeah, it becomes weird. Like, let's go for drinks, and I'll be like, okay. And then we'll go for drinks, and I just, I'm good with the water.
And then it makes them feel like they're a raging alcoholic.
Or it makes them feel like I'm intentionally staying sober and trying to get them drunk. And it's like, no, that's not how this
is. Yeah, that's weird, I guess.
I genuinely just hate alcohol.
Have you ever done drugs?
No.
Never.
I'm getting close.
Yeah. I mean, it'll
getting
happen.
Close.
California will push you to
close.
That, where you're like, wait, so this is okay and everything is still terrible?
I
should definitely do drugs.
Yeah. I mean, California, I wish everyone were on. Things would move faster out here.
Maybe.
It's.
I guess it depends on the drugs. I think part of why things go so slow is everyone has been high since 1960. So
That's fair. I mean, yeah, it's bad out here. I don't know how I'm going to ever adjust to the pace out here.
I mean, I came from Kansas, so I was about to say, you get used to it, but then I'm like, it's actually faster than what
I
was.
Yeah, I came from New York. Where, like, you can't jaywalk out here. In New York, if you don't jaywalk, you get nothing done. You stand on a corner with 800 people getting COVID.
Yeah. I've gotten a jaywalking ticket out here, so.
How much was yours?
I think it was like $160
People told me $160, $90. I'm like, the fact that you're paying anything to cross a street when there are no cars coming, what is going on?
I even crossed in a crosswalk.
Yeah.
It was out of control, and the police officers were both very butch lesbian women, and it was my birthday, and you could tell that they were very proud of themselves. And on the ticket, it said,
happy birthday.
It said, no, but she did go, happy birthday today, Mr. Ingram. And I was like,
Oh, I've gotten pulled over on my birthday where they end with that. It's like, you know what would have made this a happy birthday?
Yeah.
You minding your fucking business and going back to the car.
It said on the ticket, crossing in the crosswalk with 7 seconds left. I'm like, how is that a crime? They're like, if you see the white human figure, then you can walk. If it's flashing or numbers are counting down, you're not supposed to cross. That's to finish crossing.
Oh, get the fuck out of here. Well, they must assume everyone out here walks so slow that they need 8 seconds to cross a one-lane street.
Yeah, I mean, I made it to the other side of the street. I think there's still 3 seconds left.
Yeah.
And I was trying to argue so bad, but I didn't even understand they were coming to talk to me. They, like, pulled up and parked on the curb kind of in front of me, and they got out, and I'm just like, the fuck are they doing?
But I,
the lady came over and she was like, do you know why I'm... I'm like, what? Are you talking to me? And she was like...
They love that.
Yeah, she goes, you crossed illegally. I go, I crossed in the crosswalk. She goes, yeah, but there wasn't enough time left. I go, I made it. There was still... Yeah, but you started. It was already flashing. I'm just like, all right.
Well, so right over here on Sunset, LaFord and I were going... Emily LaFord, the booker here, we were going to just grab food. Right across at the Pendry, literally straight across. She didn't want to get a ticket, so she walked to the end of the block to the crosswalk.
Yeah.
Across the street and then walked back.
Yeah.
And I just walked straight across. I just didn't understand. I don't understand the concept of going out of your way to cross a street.
Yeah.
And people are terrorized out here. They're terrified.
Los Angeles is a city built solely on trying to make profit from crime.
Yeah.
And it's the same reason why there's 10 million homeless people doing heroin openly on the street, and they don't get a fine, they don't get arrested, because there's no money in arresting a homeless person.
No.
But, you know, you park your car in the wrong spot, they'll tow it and charge you $500 to get it out because you have a car, so therefore you have money that we can take.
Yeah, I mean, and on the flip side, there's a bunch of, they're cleaning up some streets.
It could be. I haven't seen any of those.
On Hollywood and Vine, there used to be a whole collection of tents that aren't there anymore.
Oh, nice.
Should we go into Rogan mode? Jamie, pull it up. What's happening with the bodies? Where are the bodies going? What are they doing with them?
Hollywood and Vine is a special place. I've seen people masturbating there.
That's a magical place.
That's still going on, probably.
Well, there's a guy there every morning that's just swinging a stick, and people are just letting him. I pass him every single morning. I don't know if that's his job, if he comes every morning.
He's a professional stick swinger.
I don't know if it's a pipe or like a old tree branch. He's just swinging it at people, hitting things. I'm like, all right, everyone's okay with this.
Yeah, they don't care. They really
living
don't
his
care.
Best life. Good for him.
Yeah, I had to move out to the suburbs just because I couldn't take any more homeless
people. I love
people.
Burbank. Burbank, there's nothing there.
No,
it's just old Armenian families, and they couldn't care less.
Nothing
about
wrong
it.
With that.
No,
never met a homeless Armenian.
No, I don't see homeless people there. My Citizen app never has any crime popping up.
Nice.
Citizen's pretty exciting, though, for the rest of L.A.
Yeah. There's a lot of, like, sword-wielding man, no pants on. That's that happens, like, at least twice a week around the valley.
Don't have a house, have a lot of swords.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
A lot of swords, not a lot of pants. That seems to be the 1-2 combo.
Priorities.
Van Nuys.
Priorities are all over the place out here.
If you're looking to get into the sword-wielding, pantsless man, Van Nuys is the city for you these days.
Wow.
All right, we're going to bring Sarah in to talk. We'll be right back.
Say hi to everyday people.
Thumbs up.
He gave us a thumbs up begrudgingly because
it's not perfect for him.
It's not perfect.
Guys, we're back. Tony in the booth is a perfectionist. He's not happy. We're not framed correctly, I'm guessing.
He's giving some sass.
Yeah, he is.
Some booth sass.
Aren't you his boss? Fire his ass right now.
But we need him for the episode next week.
All right, you get to keep your job for now. How are you? How's it going?
I'm good. I'm good. First of all, fuck White Castle.
Yeah.
Crystals
what?
For life.
What?
Crystals.
Who the fuck's Crystal?
That's Southern White Castle, right?
Yes, this is White Castle.
It's like Carl's Jr. and Hardee's. Yeah.
White Castle.
it's White Power Castle.
Her name's Crystal.
Yeah.
Crystal with a K.
White Castle is royalty.
So the the K tells you everything, probably.
Yeah.
Also, really quick, I was in Miami once, and there was these people coming towards us with the in the crosswalk, and we had stopped because the countdown was at one. And all of a sudden, you know, the hand goes up, and she goes, "Oh, they didn't even give us a warning." And I'm like, "The numbers counting down is the warning. What are you talking about?
This is outrageous.
What? They didn't even give us a warning."
I love people who don't know how things work, and like sometimes you can see the light bulb go off.
You're like, "Oh my
God." So now I just got to stand in traffic? No.
You actually should. Yes, that would be better for the rest of society if you just stayed where you are.
People are brilliant.
What is ultra, what is it?
Ulcerative colitis.
What is it? How do you say it?
Ulcerative colitis.
Ulcerative.
Yeah, so it's colitis in the colon, and it's ulcerative. There's ulcers lining the colon.
Okay.
And a lot of the times it just leads to thinning of the walls. And in most cases, within 7 to 8 years, you develop colon cancer.
Oh.
So I was in that situation where I was like, well, nothing, it's not getting better from here.
Yeah.
I can inject whatever I want into my thigh. It's not getting
how
better.
How do you get it?
First of all, they say it's like a
from
a,
not drinking. That's what I'm that's hoping the answer is.
Alcohol would have killed
only sober
the bacteria.
People. No, it's actually supposedly from like Middle Eastern Jews. It's like Ashkenazi, which I thought the guy was just being anti-Semitic when he said that. It didn't make sense to me.
Yeah,
like it just
it's Italian.
It's, yeah,
you're like
But like stress can lead to it. Food. There's so many different variables. There's no way to pinpoint. They're doing studies where they're finding it in people's genes. But it's not. It could be anything.
From shitting your pants?
Yeah.
That's when they find it in
literal
your jeans.
jeans.
Yeah, they give me the same thing with the diabetes. They're like, well, it's in your DNA that you could get it, and we have absolutely no idea what would trigger it. I'm like, you have nothing?
Yeah.
You guys, a bunch of doctors and scientists haven't figured out. Well, it could be a virus. People right now are getting diabetes after having COVID. That's like something that's happening to people's. There's like it's not likely to happen, but there are people who now are diabetic, and it's triggered from having a bad case of COVID or whatever it is. So viruses are one thing. They're like, could be environmental. You know, you might have ingested bacteria that caused it.
Yeah.
Like, well, I used to swim in the ocean out here, so that probably did it.
If you're lucky, that's all you got.
Yeah, I'm like, that's probably what did it. And I told my mom, she's like, oh, you're so right. That water's filthy. I'm like, I was joking, Mom, but
my sister was here last week. We went to the Santa Monica Pier. I'm like, if we leave here with only COVID, that's a win.
Yeah, for sure.
It was disgusting.
The Santa Monica Pier is special, though. It's the only place, like where I grew up, fat people would wear shirts when they went swimming.
Yeah.
But in Santa Monica, Hispanic people of all body types swim in jeans and T-shirts.
Like New Jersey.
It's an interesting. Is that a Jersey thing?
Yeah, they ski in jeans. They do all of that.
I've only been to New Brunswick, so there wasn't any swimming going on.
Oh, no.
But, yeah.
Nobody goes to New Brunswick.
Just me, apparently.
the stress factory.
Yeah, that is why I went.
I figured.
Also, I think the reason things are slow or paced in LA is because it takes everybody so long to get everywhere that you have to leave in a lot of time. So everyone just factors in an extra hour to get somewhere. So that's why they have time to wait in line.
Oh, no, it's not the people waiting in line. It's the people that won't serve you. It's the people that, like, I get their attitude is, I have to be here for 8 hours. You're coming down with me.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm going to reorganize the cups. I have to do it. You might as well wait for me.
I think the problem with Los Angeles in terms of like ordering food and things like that, as a waiter, I worked as a waiter for 6 years when I first moved out here, several different restaurants, fired from most of them. And what I can tell you is that nobody wants to be a waiter here.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks they're going to be someone important.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And so it's beneath them to try at doing anything. Like, anyone who ever sat at any table I was the waiter for definitely had to deal with the fact that I wasn't going to come around and check on them. Because it's just like, I'm way above this.
That's weird. I got such a different vibe from this place where everyone's extra attentive and they want to be nice because they have this mentality of you don't know who you're serving. This could be the guy who casts me in his thing.
That's possible. I guess I never thought
we're
that
in New
was
York. It's like,
me.
I'll come back when I'm ready to come back.
Yeah, for me, it was literally just like people, when you're a waiter, you're basically a slave. And the goal is that you want to make $5 $10 in tips to be someone's slave for a few minutes.
That sounds about right.
But I've never served a table of people that I thought was above me. So it was insulting every time I ever had
no
to bring people food.
That's true.
Like, oh, really? You want more lemonade? You fucking bitch.
Who gets more lemonade?
That costs extra.
I'll bring it when I feel ready.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a very New York attitude. I'm surprised you don't
yeah,
like New York.
Yeah, he has a really great attitude for New York.
Yeah,
I'm shocked that
I'm
he doesn't
like
it more.
I'm surprised you don't like New York.
The only thing about New York I liked, you got to go.
I'm going upstairs. Right. I have more questions written down, so
all right.
You can
okay.
ask. But
have a
all
great
my other
set.
Questions, I'll text you.
Yeah.
Okay.
The only thing I like about New York is sitting on the subway and acting miserable. That I thrive at.
I mean, you can't sit on the subway and not act miserable.
I've seen people who look happy, and I'm like, I might rob
them. There's
no way. That's what I kept thinking. I was like, I should rob that person. And I'm not a robber, but someone was smiling and happy on the subway.
We don't want that in New York.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I've never been on the subway and been like, oh, this is a great day.
It's always terrible. So, everything about public transportation is terrible because it involves the public.
Well, that's why I that's why I loved having a car in New York. It was just I didn't have to be at the mercy of the MTA, which is basically it's run by actual monkeys.
Yeah,
there are no humans at the MTA.
What's the MTA?
The Metropolitan Transit Authority. They have there's no human beings working there.
Yeah,
they're just zoo animals.
At best.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Trying to figure out how to map from one place to another within a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, I don't even think they're zoo animals. Zoo animals have been trained.
They're like dumb zoo
level.
Animals.
Yeah,
that's untrained.
Possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Where did you go to college?
I went to Brooklyn College, which was a
that's
community school. Yeah. So I was going to go to Ithaca, and Ithaca was going to be like $30,000. I was going to be in their TV. I wanted to be in their TV and film program, and then I got into Brooklyn College and they were going to pay for me to go there. And I was like, why would I pay $30,000 when Brooklyn College has a really nice brand new TV studio? And going to Ithaca, like, where was I going to intern? Walmart? Like, there's nothing to do up there.
Yeah.
So luckily I stayed in Brooklyn, went to college there and then was able to intern in the city. So it worked out.
Yeah. That works. I went to a really top-notch film school in Santa Fe. They pitched really hard that they had one of the only fully operational professional film studios of any film school.
Oh, boy.
And they legitimately had films and TV stuff that filmed there, used their stuff. And the big selling point was, you know, we can get you work basically interning on these professional shoots.
Yeah.
And the year before I went there, they had like a Matt Damon movie called All the Pretty Horses that filmed there. And so all the upperclassmen at film school got to work on it, and they had them doing PA stuff and whatever it was. So I'm like, that's sweet, but there were no films there when I was there. They filmed a Slim Jim Randy Savage beef jerky
that's
commercial,
pretty sweet.
And I didn't get to work on it. And that was the final straw.
That just reminded me, I worked for Law & Order SVU in New York, and like that was at... I was still sick. This was pre-surgery. This was like right when my medication stopped working. So I was working at Warner Music, and then I would schedule shoots because I was like a new media producer there. So I was running around and like planning behind the scenes footage to shoot. So I was, and then I was doing PA work for them also, and I was getting sick again. So you have to like, basically when you're leaving your post, you have to tell people. So you would just hear me, whatever the code was for going to the bathroom, every 10, 15 minutes, I was like, this is not sustainable.
Yeah, it's not a
good
deal.
This is not workable.
No.
So that's another thing that I was like, yeah, I need to fix my shit up.
Yeah.
Like, that was an interesting job, Law & Order.
What's limited because of your...
I can't have anything acidic. I can't have pop... Like, my body doesn't digest a lot of things. So, like, if I have popcorn, I'm risking getting a blockage, which you got to go to the hospital, they have to unclog it. Anything acidic, everything burns. Like I can't have tomato sauce. I can't really have. I was never into fruits and vegetables anyway. But obviously,
what a man.
Obviously, but
is that
that's
the body of someone who's not into fruit or
vegetables?
Yeah,
this is what happens when you don't eat fruits and vegetables.
Okay,
you look like this.
What do you eat?
A lot of bland, like bread. Also, the body of someone who enjoys bread. Bread.
That's very New York.
Plain pasta. When I know I have nothing to do for 3 days, I will eat pizza.
Okay.
I'm not going to feel good about it.
when you eat pasta, can you eat like olive oil on it?
I can have olive oil, but I kind of like the taste of plain pasta. It's a weird thing, dude.
That's so weird.
Yeah. I think.
You know who likes the taste of plain pasta?
Serial killers.
My 1.5-year-old.
Oh, that sounds about right.
He's just like.
I have the diet of a 5-year-old.
He enjoys the texture of it, I think.
Plain chicken nuggets, like.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
you are.
Even if they're in dinosaur shapes, I'll eat them.
Dude, this. If you
it's
ever,
a problem.
If you ever come to eat at my house, you're in luck, because that's what we serve every night over at.
That sounds perfect.
Chateau La Ingram.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
Chicken nuggets and plain pasta.
That's exactly days. I have no food in there, but when I go food shopping, that's exactly what I'm ordering.
My 5-year-old, and she has two answers, and I go, what do you want for dinner? She'll either say chicken nuggets, or she'll go, rotini.
Smart girl.
And I'll go, what do you want on your rotini? No red sauce. It's hates perfect. Red sauce, but. She'll eat anything at school. She, like, loves school lunch more than anyone I've ever met in my life. So, like, today she had beef and cheese lasagna. And I'm like, how was it? She was like, it was really good. And I go, oh, cool. Maybe I'll make lasagna sometimes. I don't think I would like it. But you just said you liked it. No, I only like the schools. I'm like, it's probably just Stouffer's lasagna.
Of course
something.
It is. So, what do you think? They have a chef in the back? The woman makes it for her kids at home? And then she...
If we order Domino's, she won't eat it if there's red sauce on it. But when they get the same Domino's from the actual same Domino's, she loves it.
Yeah. That makes sense. Well, it's funny because, like, I when you're an adult, you start thinking about things like the way you thought about things when you were a kid. And I always thought kids who ate school lunch, their parents didn't love them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my parents made food for me, and you have to eat the shit from the kitchen.
Yeah.
And then you grow up and you're like, oh no, those were the rich kids who could afford school lunch.
Well, that's not the case anymore. Because of the budget surplus out here, all elementary school kids get free lunch every day.
Oh.
So we prepared before the school year, like, you can probably get lunch 3 or 4 days a month. That was like the deal. It's like, we're going to make you, you know, your sandwich. And then they sent the thing home saying that basically no politicians could realistically make an argument that we shouldn't provide free food for all the children. Yeah. And so they just passed it quickly when they, like, we have an extra $2 billion. We have to spend it.
Let's
otherwise, we can't collect more tax money.
Let's feed the kids.
So, time to feed the kids. And she's just loving it.
I mean, it sounds pretty solid.
Yeah.
They need to do that for adults out here. I don't like cooking.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of eating any food that anyone provides for me.
Yeah.
I might not like it, but I would rather eat that than have to make myself
food. Oh, that's where I'm at, because I'm not a good cook either. I don't want to take the job away from someone who genuinely wants to do it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
How did you get your job at Warner Music, and what did you do there?
I was a director of digital production there. I started as an intern, and then I just made my way up the ranks, and I kind of loved I was fascinated by the back end of things. Like, you see all the front-facing stuff, and then seeing how things work on the back end, the planning of releases with artists, and how the rollouts are planned, and just marketing that, and how it's marketed, and how you can use the digital landscape to market those things. And even something as like what we did with your album, which I don't know if it's going to be out by the time this airs, 2/2/22, but like, we have an instant grat track on there, which means when people pre-add your album or download it, pre-order it, they're going to get the intro as part of their download. So, like, just doing marketing things like that. That
stuff that excites the common man.
Yeah. Not even that excites the common man, but just builds marketing without really doing a lot of marketing or spending money, using like different tricks within a system to heavily market a product.
This is like the most millennial job of all time.
Is it?
I feel like
I feel like the social media department was the most millennial job.
Oh, this doesn't involve social media.
No,
this
we don't. Now I'm a one-man record label. Yeah. I mean, I have Gidley and Kaylee, but
yeah,
for the most part, they're helping me with the production end. But the record label side, I'm like a one-man record label now, so I am the social media guy,
right?
Which is terrible, but what can you do?
I don't know. I still don't understand social media.
We have to fix that. That's what we have to work on.
The platform I like the most is Facebook. That's how boomer I am.
That's a problem.
But that's the only one where I can write a long rant and explain how much I want everyone to fuck off. Whereas at Twitter, I'm limited. I can only really
I think that's the point.
I can only get three or four "this is why you need to fuck off" sentences in.
Yeah.
And on Instagram, you can't even do it unless you just share a picture of a tweet, which is probably the cheapest, most bullshit.
Yeah, but Facebook is like the joke before you trim the fat, and then Twitter's like, oh, I got to put my best material in here.
I don't need to trim anything.
I feel like there could be some trimming.
The fat is the best part of what I do.
No, but by the third sentence, they're out. They're checked out on Facebook.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, Facebook was big, and then they started letting people who didn't go to college on there, and I was like, all right, I'm over this.
I was already out of college when I got on Facebook.
But did you use a personal email or a college email?
Facebook, it was definitely a personal email.
Okay, because I
didn't get on Facebook till like 2008. So.
Okay, so I started college when Facebook came out in 2004. You needed a college email. So
I remember hearing that.
There were people on there that were genuinely like, you had to be in college.
Yeah.
And now I would say the majority of users couldn't spell college.
Yeah.
Especially like certain political affiliation.
Sure.
Like, there's
you
no
hear us, Magus? You hear us?
Yeah, we're talking about you, Magus.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get social media at all.
There's nothing to get. It's more of just like, look at it as talking to people without having to actually talk to people you don't want to talk to.
I don't want to talk to them, though.
But you're not talking to them. You're just putting something out there for them to interpret however they want.
I don't want them to think I'm talking to them, you know?
No, you do.
I don't think I do.
You do. You do.
The problem is, then they all start talking back, and you're just like, who's this asshole?
You have control. That's the beauty. You have control over it. You block comments. You delete comments.
Listen, you can't block and you can't delete, because then you're a coward.
No, nothing infuriates them more than you posting something that just sets them on fire and they can't say anything back.
Yeah.
There's a beauty in that.
I just want to be able to tell people to their face that I think they're trash.
I mean, you do it every night. It's fine.
Exactly.
It works
right.
out great.
That's exactly right. And so I think I'm gonna live in the real world. And like my wife, she'll be like, you realize you've just gained like 3,000 Instagram followers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's cool.
You couldn't give zero fucks about that.
Yeah. And she's like, you don't even post anything.
You know? I don't think you realize how happy I was that you gained like 4,000 followers in a week.
Yeah.
You couldn't give any fucks about it. And I'm this is amazing.
All I'm thinking is just like, who the fuck are these people? And how long is it going to be before they're like, this guy's kind of a dick. But I don't care. I don't know. It's hard for me. It's really hard for me.
We have to fix that.
Get invested in it.
Yeah. It's a problem.
It's a weird.
Your career revolves around people needing to see you, but you don't want to be seen by them. Like, you want to pick who you're surrounded by, but your job is sort of to just be in front of everybody.
I don't have a problem being in front of everybody. I just don't want to use the internet to do it. The internet's evil. That's really what it is.
Okay.
I never sent an email or used the internet until I was probably 18 years old.
I mean, I don't even think I had it at 18.
Yeah, I never used the internet once until I went to college.
Yeah, I mean, most of us didn't.
Like, I guess I know enough people who are like, well, yeah, I started emailing in like 1996. I'm like, really?
You know when I started using email the most? I think I could tell you it was like 2008 or 9, whenever I started stand-up. So I was my home club was Gotham. I was performing at comics. There was a comic there who ran a show, Andy Engel. Do you know who Andy Engel is?
It sounds familiar.
He's one of the worst scumbags I've ever, but he was basically like, if you go to Gotham and you get me, you'll be a made man. Go to Gotham, get me email addresses for whoever's doing their mics, and I'll bring them over here. I'll give you whatever spots you want. You're a made man. Obviously, I texted Jess Kirsten right away. I was like, just letting you know. I'm probably not the only one he's reaching out to.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to make up some fake email addresses and get spots.
Yeah.
So I just started creating shit on Gmail. Like, I think that just came out, and sending him fake email addresses. I would use it for spots, and then I would interact with him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I want to come to your 30-person bringer show.
Nice.
I'm just collecting 30 people. Like, that would be every response to him from all these accounts. It was just like, that was my first interaction with emails, where I was like, okay, I see why this could be helpful.
I was using my Hotmail account until 3 years ago.
Okay, that's a problem.
And then my wife was like, you got to get a Gmail. I'm like, well, this email's fine. And she's like, it's not fine for anyone who wants to send you an email. I'm like, why? She's like, because this is an archaic.
Oh, in my old job, I had to hire people, and I would look at resumes, and if I saw AOL or Hotmail or Earthlink, I was like, no.
Yeah.
No. Like, one of the rules that I used to go and speak to the interns, which was dumb on their part, to the company to let me go talk to the interns, I'd be like, just use common sense. If your email is like sexygirl69@AOL.com,
you're
get
hired.
That off your fucking resume.
Oh.
I mean, here, probably.
L.A. mentality. Yeah, yeah. Sexygirl69 sounds like someone's the new vice president hanging out.
Yeah, so it's interesting. What I was judging people by email, but Hotmail was pretty bad.
Yeah, I don't care. If someone's judging me for my Hotmail, then you know what? It wasn't meant to be.
I agree.
How I look at it.
I agree.
But
what can you do?
Yeah, I'm terrible at all that stuff. Like,
we're going to fix it.
When you guys would send me clips for this podcast, I'd be like, I don't even know how to.
I tried to get you to listen to audio files for your own album.
Yeah.
And it just got to the point where I put them on a flash drive and said, just plug it in.
Yeah.
Plug it in and let it do its thing.
I asked my wife, because I couldn't get the flash drive to work either.
Oh, Jesus.
And then she showed me, and she's like, why did he put it on a flash drive? And I go, because it doesn't work on my computer. And she's like, did you download it? I'm like, yeah, I think.
You certainly did not.
And then she goes, well, you got to log in. I go, log into what? And she goes, log into your Google account. I go, I don't think I have a Google account.
Oh, Jesus.
She goes, you have a Gmail account. So you have a so it just wants my Gmail information? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to have to figure out what it is.
Oh, your wife is a saint. I would have smashed your computer and said, you're done.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah.
You're done.
I was pretty close to smashing my computer.
That's amazing.
When I clicked on the link, it asked me for what my login was. I'm like, I don't know what this is. And then in my mind, it was like, this is probably a scam. And then I assumed that someone, you sent it, but then it got intercepted by the mainframe, hackers working in the mainframe. And then the mainframe hackers sent it to me, and they're trying to get my personal information.
Okay, I changed my position. We're going to get you off all social media, all technology. This is bad.
I'm basically Boomer Bob.
Yeah, this is bad.
Anything computer related.
This is fucking bad. I mean, I run your TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah, and she'll also go, so what are you doing? And I'm like, copy paste. And then she'll go, are you actually clicking on the top bar where you go to file and copy? And she goes, why don't you just do control C?
Jesus.
And I go, I don't know what that means.
You take 3 years to send an email.
Everything.
Oh, boy.
But she gets really angry at me about all of it. I'm just like, look, I'm 40 years old. I don't have time.
Okay, you're 40 years old. You're acting like you're 90 years old.
I might as well be 90.
There's a 5-year difference. There's no reason you should not know how to download a file.
I'm 100% part of the greatest generation. I should have been fighting
you've
Nazis.
You've paid your dues. You've done your job.
That's exactly right.
You've molded, and now we have to just take
the world
over.
Should adapt to me.
We're getting you in the metaverse. That's the next step.
I'm so confused by that, but I'm excited. I know Meta is Facebook or something, but...
Yeah, they changed their name from Facebook to Meta, but now it's Meta Facebook, Meta Oculus. Like, I don't know.
I also see that I read an article online.
Ooh. How'd you get there?
I have the website saved on my computer.
There we go. Okay.
Bookmarked, I believe is the term.
Whoa.
So I bookmarked some news sites, and I go there, and there's apparently people buying real estate.
Oh, yeah.
In the Meta world.
Snoop Dogg?
He's buying?
He has a whole island now.
That's great. Good for him.
And, like, the houses around him are expensive. The land around him is expensive where you could put your digital art. I think it's... No, but I've been on the Oculus. You have 10 minutes before the headache kicks in. I thought I had COVID 8 times this week. It's just the Oculus is just... You can't live in that world. It's not sustainable. And NFTs are a scam. That's like the 2022 Ponzi scheme.
Those are the pictures that people buy?
Yeah, you buy a picture. I'm like, what stops me from screenshotting it and now sending it to people?
Nothing. Yeah.
So
I know a guy who I grew up with who was super smart, but I think he might be retarded now. I'm not positive. But He's super anti-vax. The government is trying to control us. And also he just promotes a lot of, what are they, NFTs? NFTs and how that's the future of the music industry. He started his own record label and they had a bunch of punk rock hits. But I think he got wealthy from it. But now his new thing is NFTs and I don't understand what the fuck it is.
So it was a big circle jerk for a little bit where everybody started buying each other's art to get money flow. But they were buying each other's art. It was weird. I don't think Bitcoin is sustainable. The fact that Elon Musk could say, hey, we're not taking Bitcoin anymore at Tesla, the stock drops.
Yeah.
He buys $1 million in Bitcoin. Hey, we're going to take it again. It skyrockets. He checks out.
He just made $100 million.
Yeah. That's not sustainable. When people say, yeah, it's great, there's no regulation, I'm like, sometimes we need regulation. Well, this is fucked.
I obviously, no one is confused about whether or not I understand crypto, but I don't understand why anyone would do it other than it's just cool, I guess. But you're essentially investing in a product that is nothing.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing that they're not mining minerals. Like if you invest in,
there's no physical product.
There's no physical product.
That's my problem with it. These, if everybody said, hey, so similar to what they did with the stock market with AMC and all these places,
yeah.
Let's say everyone with Bitcoin said, today was Friday's D-Day. At 12 p.m. Friday, we all pull our money out. We go to an ATM and we pull our Bitcoin out. Where's that extra money that everybody has? Like, who's covering that? Like, it's all a gamble on the fact that nobody's going to pull a Ponzi scheme rug out from under everybody.
Yeah.
There's no...
You're investing in nothing.
You're investing in literally nothing. You're giving money to a big pot and hoping that you can take the money out when you need it before everybody else takes theirs out.
Now, I don't know if you're the guy to talk to about this.
Probably not.
But I've got big plans for us to get super rich.
Shitcoin.
Christ coin.
Ooh.
So it's the first crypto, faith-based crypto. So faith-based people are dumb as shit. People who like crypto are dumb as shit.
Ooh.
So if we come up with the only cryptocurrency that is blessed by Christ and for the true believer, then we could make a lot of money off of the worst of the worst.
I mean, Pat Robinson, didn't he just retire? So there's a big empty market for us to grab right now. We could take all of his apocalypse powder meals.
Yep.
We could start selling those.
Good.
But I think the Christ coin might
be. This is really where the key is. Because there's going to. It's crypto. You can have faith in. That's really what we saw.
Wow, you even have a slogan for it. Crypto you can believe in.
Yeah, so it's really
Christ coin. We pull in these suckers.
We're not even going to have to worry about social media ever again because we're going to get so rich from this.
I mean, they are not a hard group to convince to join. I mean,
yeah.
Wow. I never thought about it. I never wanted my own coin until now. Christ coin.
You've never seen a crypto that can walk on water until now. So anyway, I'm really excited about the future of that.
We have to get on this.
Yeah.
I was thinking Rick coin, but I like Christ coin.
People don't believe in me enough. But
not yet.
There's a lot of people out there who believe in Christ, and they know that a coin in his name would never lead them down the wrong path.
No, and it can't possibly be a Ponzi scheme. Like,
it wouldn't do that because Jesus wouldn't back that kind of thing.
No,
and this is the only crypto that Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit are all 100% behind.
We launch on Black Friday.
Perfect.
And by Christmas, they're spending it.
Yeah.
And we just have to find a few. We need to see if Tesla's going to take it. That'll skyrocket.
They will. Trust me.
All the water companies.
Warren Buffet. That guy's going to buy into it. We need to
really sit down and get this nailed out.
Yeah. I mean, we're telling the people, so they already know this is going to get the buzz going. And
Christ coin. Like it.
It's
going to be a competitor's market.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, there's nothing that matters more than swindling Christians. So,
I mean, who hasn't swindled a Christian at this point?
Amen. Jesus did, for God's sake. That's why Christcoin is the number one cryptocurrency for anyone who wants to go to heaven. That's another really important selling point, is if you have enough Christcoin at the end, automatically in. You don't even have to worry about
sins. I didn't think about that, because like Bitcoin's going to be, I think, probably the primary use, primary currency of the metaverse.
Perfect.
This is the primary currency of the afterlife.
That's exactly right. And afterlife, obviously, is also the name of our metaverse.
I'm going to copyright this, trademark this as soon as we get off.
We're going to make this fantastic. Listen, once Christcoin is going, we're going to be able to say whatever we want. But
yeah,
until then,
we have God on
we
our
just
side.
Cut and paste and, you know, edit
manually.
Edit. Yeah.
File, cut.
I'm
edit,
old school.
Cut,
I work
paste.
On film.
Yeah.
These are film cameras, right?
Yeah.
So we'll just we'll snip them and we'll glue them and tape them, do whatever it takes. So.
Christcoin.
The
your
future
to heaven.
Is the past. That's how Protestantism started. Was the
Christcoin?
Catholics the Catholics started selling free passage to heaven. So you could be in like the 1400s, 1500s, whatever it was. You could just donate a bunch of money to the church, and they told you that you automatically get.
Well, don't they feed people Jesus on Christmas? Don't people eat Jesus on Christmas?
I think
like Jews have some weird shit. But then I went to church for the first time, and I was like, oh, I don't have to be as embarrassed about.
No, they do it every temple. Sunday.
Catholics, oh, you eat Jesus every
they
Sunday?
Eat the body of Christ and drink the blood of Christ every Sunday.
Oh,
yeah. So
it's
not just for his birthday. It's year round.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're really going to get them deep on this Christcoin.
Dude, we're going to be super rich. I can't wait. It's going to be so good.
All right.
Do you have anything you want to promote other than the greatest crypto the world has ever known?
Christcoin.
That's number one.
Rick Ingram's album, American Bully, his EP.
Yep.
We're probably going to do a bunch of them, so make sure you're doing that. Follow Comedy Store Records. You can follow my Instagram, but it's not that interesting. But,
tell them what it is anyway.
Say it ain't Sosis. That's a lot of S's. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right. Check me out on MySpace, Facebook, the Instagram. Is it the Instagram?
It was the Facebook.
The Facebook, but now it's just Facebook
yeah.
because Justin Timberlake told him to.
It's cleaner.
And that is what he says.
It's exactly what he says.
It's cleaner. I'm on Twitter. You're not going to get the full hate because they don't let you hate that much. But, follow all that stuff. Go to Ingram Pod, too. If you're a listener and you want to be on this podcast, send a DM to either Sarah Tiana or to Ingram Pod. Tell us a little bit about yourself, why you're interesting, why you're not a creepy freak. Although, if you're really creepy and really freaky, we will interview you. So, thanks for listening, and see you guys soon.
If you'd like to be a guest on our show, please DM Ingram Pod on Twitter. That's Ingraham Pod on Twitter.
Goodbye to everyday people.
Special thanks to the Comedy Store and to Brian Rips for the dope-ass music.